Francis Mallmann may be the best-known chef in South America, between his eateries and his 32 years of television shows. What got my attention was his book, Seven Fires, based on the traditions of the native peoples of Argentina and Venezuela. Now, here was a French-trained chef with famous French restaurants cooking in the most primal and tricky-to-control way possible. Well, we asked him to be part of our 20th anniversary stage show at the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. Before bringing him on stage, I showed a clip from his appearance on Netflix's Chef's Table. Francis was with friends in the wilds of his home, Patagonia. They were building a domed cage of branches arched over a circle of slow-burning fire. He suspended trussed chickens from that dome to cook. Well, as the clip ended, Francis walked on stage, a big man in jeans, a worn beret, a poncho that had seen a lot of his life, an old silk scarf, and a grin.
Have a seat. It's an honor to have you here because I've been a fan. I think we spoke several years ago when your book called The Seven Fires came out.
Yes.
And I remember you wrote about fire in a way that went far beyond cooking and yet in many ways actually defined what cooking is, the transformation. But I'm curious to know, what is going on there? What was happening? Is that a festival or a feast? Was it something that you just do with friends?
Well, no, that's something I've been doing for the last 2 years. It's sort of a new thing, which is dome cooking. I do these domes with wires, and I hang food. Like, I hang whole very big fish on bamboo beds and whole ribeyes on their bone, or chicken, or turkeys, and we cook them extremely slowly. So what we do is we make a round fire all around it, and the food is hung in the middle. And for example, a ribeye, we will cook it for 10 hours, and a fish for very, very slowly for 6, and it's so tender and moist.
One of the things that you talk about, this book, Seven Fires, maybe you should explain what the seven fires are.
Okay, so seven fires are the technique I sort of grabbed from my country and some parts of South America.
That's
and
Argentina.
I used to cook, yeah, Argentina. Yeah. So we have a grill that we all know. We have a plancha with a fire, which is a cast iron grill. We have a curanto, which is cooking in a pit with hot stones. And there's some traces of that that are 12,000 years old in Patagonia. So the natives were cooking like that 12,000 years ago.
You were raised in Patagonia.
I was raised in Patagonia, yes.
Which is a wild place.
It is, and I certainly love it. And then we have asador, which is cooking on sort of a stand, a whole animal. We do a big cow, or we do a lamb or a goat. Sometimes on wood crosses or iron crosses, and we're cooking very, very slowly, quite far away from the fire too, and we brine it with water and salt. And then we have the wood oven, and we have as well rescoldo, which is cooking in ashes. So those are the techniques, plus the dome now, which is hanging.
But these are very traditional techniques from your country?
Most of them, yes. And a little hell, which is cooking in between two fires, that comes from the Incas.
Now, you're opening a new restaurant in Miami next month.
That's right.
And it's called Los Fuegos.
Yes.
Meaning the fires.
Yeah.
What is it with fire? I mean, what, for you, what is it? No, I should preface this by saying that I think this is something that, well, I personally feel very strongly about this. I think there's a draw. We all know this. We love sitting in front of them, et cetera. But you have turned this into something that is a life. Yeah. And I'd love to know, what is that about?
Well, if you look a bit into my background, I was raised in Patagonia in a house that was ruled by fire. You know, we had chimneys, the hot water system was with a fire, the heating of the house. So as kids, you know, having a full shed of wood was very important, of every size for every different fire.
Mm-hmm.
I never remembered that. And then I went into training in France with the best star chefs of those times. And I came back to become an arrogant French chef. I was for many years. I tried to copy everything I had learned in a very bad way, I think. And then suddenly I was 40 and I got this sort of a prize in Paris. And I thought, well, what the hell am I doing? You know, I'm 40, I've been cooking for 20 years, who am I? So I said, I better start thinking about having my own language in cooking. And I didn't invent anything, really. I just went down into my knees and looked around and remembered all the tools from my childhood and looked around a bit into the mountains and see what the natives had been doing. And I grabbed all that and I started cooking it with it. But it was very slowly. It was a process that took, you know, the last 20 years. And I feel that I just started. You know, there's so much more to do because fire is such a fragile and a beautiful thing. People think that it's a manly thing, you know, fire and you burn things. But it's on the contrary, it's very feminine. It's very fragile, and I love it. And I'm learning a lot still.
And it's very hard to control, isn't it?
Well, it is very hard to
control. The quixotic side of it, is that one of the things that draws you in?
Well, it's like everything in cooking. If you think about a risotto, or today I was writing a new recipe of a profiterole. When you cook, you have to be there, you know? Yes, you can put something in a wood oven and walk away for 5 hours and maybe we'll be okay. But, you know, when I put something in the oven, I feel like my wife has a lover. And I look into the oven and I say, what the hell are you doing with my chicken? I mean...
How dare you?
How dare you? Yeah, it's warm in there. I'm out here. What are you guys doing in there? So I sit by the oven when I cook, you know, because I think about that. And I look at it. Well, that's a joke, but I think that, you know, we have to be very aware when we cook. And I love that, you know. Nowadays, I have a lot of help when I do with these big fires. I have a comfortable chair, like today, and I point, do this, do that. Because I'm grown up, you know, and I have the right to do it now. But I'm still there for the 20 hours of the cooking. I love it. Uh-huh. It's 20 hours when we do these fires. We start at midnight, and we finish at midnight next day.
And then everybody feasts.
Yes.
You talk about living on the edge. Did I interpret that?
Yeah, the edge of uncertainty.
Yes, yes.
Well, my life has been a bit like that, you know. I've always chose that sort of edge. It sounds dangerous, but it has more to do with risk and with doing new things and with starting again constantly, you know, not being comfortable. I think that the worst enemies we have in life are routine and fear. There are two things that paralyze us, you know. When you're afraid, when you're in routine too, it's so sad. So my TV shows nowadays are more about a lifestyle, trying to push people outside, making them dream that there's a better life, you know, that you can work and go to the office, but you have to be outside a bit. And kids, you know, until they're 7, they should spend half of the day in the wild. It's the best school. I hate schools. Every day that my children, I see them go to school, I'm so unhappy. I don't like schools. They indoctrinate. They take the dreams away of children.
Were you raised with that kind of freedom?
Yes. It wasn't that my parents thought, but we lived, you know, in a very remote place. And my father used to give us money to pay the school, to do bus to school in, but not out. So, you know, we got to school, we spent the day at school, and the way back we had to walk or, you know, hitchhike or... And without thinking it, you know, we spent, I remember hours and hours, you know, walking with my dogs in the fields after school every day. And that saved my life because every time I'm hurt, every time I see adversity in my life, I remember of that. And it's just a cleansing. It's the best medicine.
I wanted to take you back to perhaps not such a gifted moment.
Okay.
You mentioned being very arrogant and doing French food,
yes.
Right? And I understand that one of the perhaps turning points was when the president of Cartier came to your restaurant for dinner. Maybe could you tell that story?
Well, you know, I came back from France. I was 27. I had worked with 8 of the 3-star chefs of those days. late 70s, early 80s. And I thought, you know, I thought I was the best. I had trained with these guys, and I was doing my menus and trying to copy every recipes I had learned in all the good restaurants of France. And I did. And one night, the restaurant was booked by the president of Cartier, and very elegant man. I remember him. I was walking around the room after dinner with my hat, like a turkey, very happy, and. The man said to me, very kindly, can I talk to you? And I said, yes. So he took me to the side, and he said to me, you know, I know you've been in France. I know you love France. I know you work very hard. The menu was in French, but the food was in French. You know, this is not very good food. I'm very sorry to say this, but I didn't enjoy this meal. So I looked at him, and I said, well, thank you very much, sir, and, you know, and I parted. And I got home and I thought, well, this guy, you know, he makes wonderful watches and jewels and rings and so on, but what does he know about cooking? I thought, you know, but I never forgot it. And many, many years later, I realized that he was right. He had read in my life something that I still didn't know, but it was very important. So nowadays, I feel that one of my responsibilities is to tell young chefs those sort of messages, not in a harsh way, but we must, because you don't forget those things and they help you grow in life.
And that's very true.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. This has been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk about one of a kind. Francis Malman is author of Malman on Fire. Now you can find his recipe for pork loin chops with thyme oil and roasted grapes on the vine at splendidtable.org.